true.
I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. Thank you so much for tuning in. Well, I act like that's the first time I've ever done that intro. I'm almost 1,000 episodes into this. You think I'd get it right someday. We'll make it up as we go along. Just like the date. Today is, we're going to call it March 26th. It's a Tuesday, 2024. Again, we know those dates are all made up and fabricated. We don't even know what real year we're in because we can't be honest about our past. Why we want to be honest about our present. And that way, the future is just a big lie. Can continue down that path of where we're going. I do have a special guest going to be coming with me today, and we're looking forward to having him in. I just want to do a couple things. We do know that the bridge and the Francis Scott Key Bridge went down overnight at 1:30 Eastern time, and I do put my condolences out to the people that were lost. Looks like a road crew was actually patching the bridge. That was the majority of the people that died in that, as well as others. And again, they did happen to shut the bridge down just in time with the Mayday, Mayday, Mayday call coming from the ship's pilot. They do call them a pilot. Some of them are pilots and some of them are captains, but the pilot did call out Mayday for that. Let me give you a couple different things in the scenario, guys. If you look at the slow motion footage of it, and you do look at the GPS and the ship tracking, which you can go online and find those things very easily, you will see that that boat was on a trajectory right between the two columns. We'll call them columns because not everybody understands the bridge terminology, but we're going to call them columns, right? And those big concrete things coming out of the water, we were shooting right down the middle of the gap on the right-hand side because we got maritime traffic going on. And then all of a sudden, about, I don't know, quarter mile out from that the ill-fated column, the concrete buttress, we want to call it, whatever you guys feel comfortable with, we'll just make it up as we go along. Again, like we said, everything's made up. Its facts don't really matter because we're going to do that. But if you see there that last quarter mile, that boat was going straight like this, and it goes ba-goop right into there. So you could call it engine failure. You can do whatever you want, but let me do this with you guys. Every single ship, every single modern airplane flies by wire. That does not mean there's a wire controlling the ailerons or the flaps or any of the different stuff that goes on the plane. We're saying it fly by wire means electronic communications going from this location of the stick or this joystick on the console, then sends a signal to rudders and other things on the plane, also on the boat. Now, we remember the Ever Given that, remember, blocked the Suez Canal, caused a bunch of billions of dollars in loss of traffic and, you know, on-time goods and all these other things. Remember that happened? Remember, they were calling that a problem with the steering mechanism. They were saying they lost control of the boat then. Now, do I think that a foreign entity called Russia or Iraq or Iran or China did it? Guys, at the end of the day, I'm going to say I think we were probably implicated in the whole thing, and I don't know what's going to come out. I don't know how it's going to look, but I do know that there was an arrest yesterday of a very famous music guy, and this famous music guy's got some things in his background, some things going on where we're seeing a repeated pattern, like R. Kelly. If you guys remember the R. Kelly saga of how he was having these drug-related parties and all that stuff, and great, we all want to party, all want to get down, we all want to do our thing, but then again, we have these victims coming forward in a repeated pattern over and over again saying the same things. You got to go, I wonder what, I don't know. And again, this is where we have to talk about that. Carrie Heisman says, guest, I figured today would be conspiracy day. Well, we do have a really great guest in here, and he's going to be able to talk conspiracy with us only because he just happens to be, I don't know, down the street and around the corner from it. So, Tim, we're bringing you on here. Tim, thank you so much for being here. We got Tim Fassenbacher here with us. You know, I screw this up with you all the time.
I've been called everything. So it's Tim Fassenbacher, but you can call me. Just
all right. Tim. I know, Tim. We go way back. You were actually one of my very first interviews on the radio with when I had you on when I was doing KQAM and FM in Kansas. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you being a part of that, is that history of things. So thank you so much. Tim, what do you think about this whole you live just right, like, what, three blocks from the bridge? Is that right? You're just down the street.
Yeah. So I'm the elected representative to the Republican Central Committee in this district. That bridge is in my district. Okay. I see that bridge from my house. I live on the water right across from it. It is it's unbelievable to see this happen. And about 1:30 in the morning, most of us in this area woke up hearing thunder, we thought, right. Feeling a rumble, thinking maybe a small earthquake. And, you know, we didn't know what was going on. We kind of went back to bed. A few hours later, I wake up and I start seeing the reports, and I'm completely shocked, like most of us are. I drive that bridge every day. Right. Most of us do as well. And to see what happened there was unthinkable.
Right.
Of course, the thoughts of foul play run through our heads, and we'll get into that in a second. But, you know, initially, it looks like things are on the up and up, like there were issues, but there are a lot of questions to be answered. And, of course, we've seen this stuff happen before, so it is quite possible that there are malevolent factors behind the scenes doing things here.
Right.
So it's a sad day for us. We're waiting to hear the list of names of people that lost their lives. They're probably going to be our neighbors and our friends. And it's going to be a tough one for us.
Right. Well, and what a sad situation that even if I just say, I hesitate and go, could it be us? As a constitutional republic, that means all of us did it. That means we're all affected, and we need to start taking ownership for our government. That the fact that we do see that our government has done things around this world, and it's so bad that we just happen to deal with our own government doing things like they have the Nord Stream explosion, and then we immediately said it was Russia, and the Russia's like, hey, guys, come on. You were playing war games, and then suddenly the pipe blows up. You got to do some math on your own. The sad part of it is our country has been on the wrong side of this for so long. We have to do this differently, don't we think? I mean, it's sad to me to see these things where we can't just be honest. And to me, I want to say, I'm so sorry that people have had this tragedy in their life. And I know that their hearts are being torn apart because of these things, but we have got to stop finding ourselves on the wrong side of history with things where a situation like this, where I have to look at my country first, and we have to get transparency in our government so we can then start trusting our government again, back to the way we used to kind of be about 6 or 7 or 8, 10 years ago, or let's say just say 4 years ago when everybody got smacked just this month, about this time, with shutting the country down to slow the curve. Don't we remember how our government told us that we were going to be safer for that, but that didn't work out that well either.
No, they ended up coming out saying, oh, well, you know, now if you have it, you don't need to quarantine. You don't need to do anything. They did a complete reversal, you know, quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, you know, if you're middle age and you're my generation, your generation, we grew up with a movie called Wag the Dog. And if you guys aren't familiar with it, in the late 90s, it was a farce about the Clinton administration and American government in whole, that talks about how they can create proxy propaganda wars to get people to buy in. And I remember, as you know, someone in my late teens watching that thinking, yeah, this is kind of stupid. This is a stretch. It was funny. But as I get older and I realize, you know what, we've seen it time and time again. And I remember the generations before mine that would talk about the 1960 election with Kennedy, how that was stolen, and how other elections and these things always go on. And for those who really like to go down the rabbit hole, MK Ultra and things like that, where we've done things to our own citizens for the benefit of the few in the government. And I believe you had in St. Louis, I know you're from Kansas, but on the other side, in St. Louis, you had the poisoning of the air within the black community there back in the 50s, I believe.
Yep.
Which never gets talked about. You had the Tuskegee experiment. These things go on. They'll continue to go on throughout humankind because elements of people are evil, and that's human nature. And it's our ability, it's our responsibility to keep them in check.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do right here.
Yeah. Well, and Tim, I know you're the kind of guy that I can talk to and say, hey, you know, we need to look at these things and be transparent. And again, let's just be transparent. Hey, we just wanted to do some stuff because we thought this would be better for us over here. All right, well, we didn't like that, so don't do that anymore. Oh, okay, we won't do that anymore. But when we see that President Barry signed into law that 2012, they can turn the machine in here, and that instead of putting it out there, what can I believe anymore, Tim? We got to have guys that, I mean, I want you to be the guy that gets in there and literally just says, here's all of our sins. Sorry. We'll bend a knee. We'll take the lashings. But here's where we're at. And from here on out, we're not going to be these people anymore. We're going to do it differently. And Tim, I don't, and again, that we're using the tragedy of Baltimore is it Baltimore? I don't want to speak out of turn on that, but
it's half Baltimore, half Baltimore County. You can say Baltimore. Yeah.
We don't want to stand on the tragedy of Baltimore, but maybe this is another great moment to not get wrapped up in the tragedy, but also take this tragedy and turn it into a positive and say, look, we can create clarity and honesty in our own government. I mean, you feel what I'm saying there? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I just.
Yeah. So you have Joe Biden that's even out there today showing that he's incompetent. And one quick thing that I like to bring everyone's attention is he talked about how he took a train over this bridge one day. Newsflash, we've never had a train on that bridge. It is.
He did not.
Unbelievable.
He did not say he took a train over the bridge. Well, maybe he went toot toot and they were telling him he was in a train. He's like, I love the train on the bridge. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know.
I will say I did not hear his speech. I was told that he said that.
Well,
it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's
nothing would surprise me.
Yeah.
But it goes to the fact that we grow up, many people think, you know what, the president is the most powerful person in the world.
Right.
Well, not really, because the presidents are controlled to a degree as well.
Right.
So we're seeing that, you know, in real time, because you have someone with these cognitive cognitive issues going on.
Yeah.
So you can see that he's being controlled, but it happens in other presidencies as well.
Right.
So always look behind the veil and see what the real mission is. If you can, they're going to hide it from us, but do the best you can and alert your citizens and your neighbors. Let them also do their investigations as well so that we can get on the right path.
Well, I will say Joe is taking that country song, Jesus Take the Wheel, to a whole new extreme because everybody else is driving the ship except for Joe. And he's like, oh, we're in Maryland. I drove a train over this. I mean, that right there is a problem. If I can say that now, again, when you said that all presidents are controlled to a certain point, we saw it with Trump. We saw things with Trump. Yeah. We're going like, what are you doing, man? What are you? And I'm like, hey, guys, listen. Trump is only as smart as the people who are talking to him. He only knows what people have said, right? So we got to give him a little bit of leniency in that. But Trump was out there. And that was what freaked everybody out because he was out making decisions without talking to the powers, right? To the bureaucracy. Let me ask you a quick question. God, we're not even talking about your district. I'm going off on stuff. This whole thing has got me rattled today. 20% of the working population of America are federal employees. Tim, what can you give me, please tell me you don't accept that as normal, that we have 20% of our working population being federal or public employees? Can we do something about that?
I do not at all. And it's even worse here because we're basically just outside of DC.
Right.
And you have this growing structure of federal employment and state employment. And what is that really saying? That's more of a communistic socialist idea where everybody's working for the state. Everybody has a job that is told to them that this is what you're going to do.
Right.
Instead of creating private sector and encouraging small business, encouraging entrepreneurship, encouraging people to be able to help, you know, as you were saying, put wires on these devices to ship them across the seas, not the real wire, but metaphorically, so that we can instead of creating innovative technology and things like that, they want you to work for the government. And it was our generation when we used to talk about if you want great benefits, but a less paying job, you get a job with the government.
Right.
Well,
right.
And this generation, it's not this case. It's if you want great benefits and a better salary, you work for the government.
Right.
It is totally by design to make sure that they continue to take people from capitalist ideas and put them into a more socialist, communist, tyrannical realm.
Yeah. And then we're just paying for that. We're paying for the experience. Right. It's sad. Now let's switch bases. Now, Tim, you are a representative for the area where this bridge went down, but you are also running for an office coming into the fall, correct?
Not this fall.
Oh, not
I am
this
definitely
fall.
Looking at 26.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I apologize.
I'm 4-year term.
Right.
So I'll be fulfilling my term until 26.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were going for this fall. I was like, man, get him, buddy. Just we need you in there.
I'm out there every day, still fighting it.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, get you in that congressional office, get you that $180,000 a year, and you and AOC can go dress shopping together, or whatever you do when you go to DC with everybody. I need somebody like you in there because I've been your biggest fan. Obviously, we've known each other, and we've only met each other a couple of times personally, but we've known each other for quite a few years. And, man, I got to get you in there because I know you're the guy for the job. What are you dealing with? Let's go back to your county position there. What's going on in Maryland County, and how do you see what's going on there is just a kind of a bleed over of the federal government being across the river?
So when Obama was president, he had Castro running basically HUD. Mm-hmm. One of the things that came out of that that not many people are aware of is he had this vision to create these developments across the country where he was forcing people to live in a social experimental way. Mm-hmm. So many times in the 80s and 70s, we saw what was called white flight. People were leaving the cities because they were being forced to have subsidized homes, Section 8, those types of things in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Well, that experiment really failed, obviously. We saw the crime increase in those areas, and then we saw the tax base in places like Baltimore City go away. And then, of course, you saw the Freddie Gray riots in Baltimore. You saw all the rats. You saw all the issues. And Baltimore is a perfect example of what a lot of these cities across the country are like.
Right.
So the city began to work with the suburbs in like Baltimore County and said, hey, you know what? Something that Obama put in place under Castro is this. And most counties in the country now do this. Every home development that's being put in place across the country, if it has 100 homes or more, 10% have to be subsidized homes.
Wow.
If they put an additional road in there, that subsidy automatically becomes 15%. Now, Baltimore County didn't exactly adopt that. Many other counties did.
Right.
But wherever, if you're listening to this, check, because your county probably did do that. So if you're dealing with a lot of development going on in other places in your communities, there's an element that's going to be forced subsidized homes, which I call socialist homes, that are being thrown in your community. Right. And I always say it's not fair to people who want to live a certain way to have to live with socialist homes. They want to live where they want to live. So I asked developers, hey, what if you're building $1 million homes in this community? He said, we still have to build 10% at least as subsidized socialist homes. They strip them down so they're not $1 million. They might be $700,000 homes, but they're still in a $1 million community. These are the things that are going on, and especially in like places like Baltimore County that we're facing. Baltimore County is very blue, but in my district, in the southeast part of the county, we're very red. Even though a majority of the voting base is still registered as Democrat, we still have the old school Democrats like you see in West Virginia,
right?
Because we were steel workers here. Very blue collar town, but very conservative individuals. So we're facing that. We're being pushed out. You're seeing a mass exodus from Maryland, but you're really seeing it from Baltimore, and you're seeing it from Baltimore County. Yet they're throwing these homes into our districts. So that's one of the fights that we're dealing with. We have our current county executive also running for Congress.
Wait, isn't this what didn't you just describe reverse gentrification?
Yes. One of the things in 2020, when I did run for Congress, when we met,
yeah,
one of the things that really came out of it was, as I went into the city and I worked with a lot of people to help run their own communities, the message became, look, we don't want gentrification in our area either. Like, we know we have our problems here in the inner city, but we don't want to be forced out so that you can make the city, and they would say, white again.
Right.
And that's because it's their home. And we want to empower them to help build their areas correctly. So now we're fighting it on both ends. And I will say one thing I was very happy about President Trump is he recognized Baltimore in 2020 that we had 9 black Republicans running. Not all were conservative, as conservative as you or I might like, or libertarian minded as we would like.
Right.
But the movement was there, and it's going, but it's slowly going. So you have gentrification going all over this country because they realized their social experiment by forcing people into cities caused a mass exodus, and then you have no tax base because everybody, or a majority of the people in the cities, ended up becoming dependent and not tax-paying citizens.
Right. Well, and again, now, if I am a person who decides that other people are pushing me out because of my fiscal placement and skin color, I can sue the developers who make me feel like my stuff is too expensive for me. But then if they move people in that then drags the neighborhoods down and the values down, we don't get to sue the government for doing that to us?
Not at all. The government's invincible. So the town I live in, or the town that is where the bridge is called Dundalk, Maryland.
Right.
And Dundalk was actually sued because the powers that be said it was racist that we took our subsidized money and we put that back into the development for seniors and disabled people. And for many years, that's what made Dundalk the glue of this area, is that we took care of our own. Well, when they decided that that was racist or whatever they wanted to use, because we weren't giving it to 19-year-olds who wanted to be on government assistance for whatever reason, we ended up settling a lawsuit and we gave $30 million basically to HUD. HUD turned around, gave it to Baltimore City. Baltimore City tore down their projects, started buying homes and development into the county, and started mass migrating their people into our area.
Right.
That's what's going on across the country. And it's hard to track this information down. But just know that's the generality of it. So if you have concerns about anything like that in your area where you're listening, it's probably going on.
Right.
And you just keep digging. You'll find those answers.
Well, isn't a lot of counties across the country, though, vote this in that they were going to allow in certain urban rural developments, literally high-rise apartments to be put into a planned community where they just go in and take four or five houses out and then just stick a big old tower of apartments in the middle of it. Isn't this like and this is the part of the 15-minute city. Have you seen these cameras that they're putting on the roads now? The cell phone license plate camera thing they're doing that's called, it's all government surveillance because they're sending back in real time the people's location according to their license plate. Which again is, and they're like, oh, we're putting it on the outsides of the cities as you come into it. Oh, so you're tracking people coming in and out of the city. Oh, that doesn't sound bad at all. But now you're seeing it in like shopping malls, at the entrances of shopping malls, at the entrance of certain neighborhoods. I have them down the street from me in Andover, Kansas, which is like only got like 12 or 15,000 people in it. They've got them all. They probably got 30 of them in that city alone. And that's out in the country. I'm sorry, I'm pointing the wrong direction. Over here, you don't know the difference. But anyway, it's over there. It's east of me. But the idea that this is starting to be okay, that we're allowing these government surveillance. And a little bit of a tip. I do have a piece of tape over my license plate. And people are like, oh, you have something on your license plate. Oh, shoot, somebody must have put that on there. I put it on there. I don't want you reading my license plate.
Yeah. And the joke is out there that people talk about, you know what? I was just thinking about this, and now it shows up in my feed, whether it's on Facebook or whatever social media or whatever. It's because they are listening, and they've been doing it for a long time.
Right.
There are some benefits if you want to give up that privacy, but generally, we don't want to give up that privacy because we know it's going to be used in a negative way against us. I'll go back one more time to our generation growing up in the late 90s. There was another movie we all thought was ridiculous, great movie. But it's so true because it's commonplace now. And that was called Enemy of the State with Will Smith and Gene Hackman.
Oh, yeah.
And it was exactly that. They tracked you. They knew everywhere you were going. They had facial recognition. And you got 25 years later or so, you go into a Walmart. What happens? They got facial recognition. They know if you're stealing something from the register that you're paying. You're being employed to actually bring up your own stuff. They can do that in your cars. They can track your face. They know where you're going. Benefits. They track murderers.
You know, about tracking, that movie was done in 1998, which means in 97 they probably filmed it, which means it was probably written in 95 or 96. So the guy
going on 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years ago, guys, they were showing you how your cell phone could talk to you, track you. I mean, everything. Again, think this is reality, guys. This is not something new. Like we're talking about 30-year-old technology that Will Smith and Gene Hackman did, and they were doing it in real time. You guys think? And then the NSA has a huge facility in Salt Lake City. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but Salt Lake City has the largest data collection service on Earth, Every single electronic signal that can be tracked is tracked to an NSA building in Salt Lake City that's bigger than any mall you've ever seen. And all they are doing is collecting all the ones and zeros of communication across the globe. That's a real thing.
It's insane that that people have given up their privacy so willingly, because a lot of people don't care. But you know what? A lot of people do care, because our privacy is what makes us human. My slogan and my honest belief is that you have the God-given right to do whatever you want with your life, provided you don't take away that same right from another. And when you take away my privacy illegally and you infringe upon my rights, well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's what caused, you know, some of the revolutions that we saw a few hundred years ago. And it's going to cause it again if these countries like America continue to infringe upon our rights, because you always will have a group of people that believe in freedom and privacy and their God-given rights. They won't stand for it. They will go to another country. They will make a new America, they will have revolutions in other countries to get that freedom.
Right.
So you always have the element of the tyrants, and then you have the people that want freedom for people. And it's always been a battle and always will.
Absolutely. Hey, Tim, I got a John Kennedy out of Florida. He's in Naples. Great supporter of the show. Thank you, John, so much for contributing every single month. John is more faithful than the government. He is on top of it. He always donates the same amount every single month. Thank you, John, for what you do. But anyway, he has a quick question here. Jim, does Tim think that we can make the 2024 election right before Election Day on November 5th? And then the second part of that question, which I'm combining two of them, Maryland Democrat U.S. Rep. Steiny Hoyer has been around far too long and needs to go election thief. So I would like you to kind of comment. Is the county in Maryland where you're at, are you guys going to get the election right? And the guy who's Steiny, I guess, I don't know if that's how you say it.
Steiny Hoyer, yeah.
Yeah, he's been around too long. So comment to both. Are you guys going to get the election right? And tell me about Steiny.
So I will say that the perception among millions of people in this country is that we do not get the election right. Mm-hmm. You can show us proof or whatever, but perception is the responsibility of those that are sending off that perception. And when you have millions of people that don't believe that the last election was legitimate, and we've seen it in the past, I mentioned 1960s election with Kennedy and Nixon. We've seen this over and over, and we see these banana republics all over the place. So do I personally believe that we will get it right? No. Will there be errors? Yes, there will always be errors, whether they're man-made or just accidental, probably a combination of both. What we can do in order to continue to get these things better is to take away that power and give power back to the people by making sure we're holding them accountable and we're checking every time we can to make sure that these elections are up and above board. In regards to Steny Hoyer, what you see in Maryland and across the country is you have an outgoing person that I ran against named Dutch Ruppersberger. I'm 46 years old. He has been in office, in public office, longer than I've been alive. And on the other side, we had a gentleman who's still an elected member. He's a Republican on a different level. He's been in office for over 50 years. Steny Hoyer, I don't know how long he's been there, but he's given those guys a run for the money as well.
Well, so, yeah, think about that. That's you went that many years and nobody really got mad at you. Are you sure no one got mad at you, or are you just bought out?
Yeah.
I mean, you know like what I'm saying? Yeah.
These guys, they know what to do to always maintain power. Right. And it's a shame because, I mean, you do have good people that run for office and they never have a chance because they don't have the backing of the establishment, the power, the people who pay. So Steny Hoyer, yeah, he's been around forever. He was a pillar with Nancy Pelosi, who happens to be from Baltimore as well. Many people don't know. So, you know, there's a lot of bad things that have came out of Baltimore. There's been a lot of great things, like our Baltimore Orioles this year and last year.
Right.
But, you know, hey, I'll give it Kansas City. You guys got
baseball. That's all you guys got for me. Like, you guys have been around kind of the founding states. Weren't you guys kind of around when we started this whole thing? You guys.
Oh, yeah, we were there. And one little quick fact, if you don't remember anything, the very first president that the country ever had was, I believe his name was John Hanson. He came from Baltimore.
Nice.
And from Maryland. And that was before George Washington came in, obviously. But a lot of people don't know it. But that's a claim to fame that I think we have.
Right. Well, again, but real quick, a little bit of happy note. Rona McDaniel, or whatever her goofy name is, I always the Rona. Yeah, McDaniel. She NBC is guess letting her go. So the New York the New York Post already put it out that NBC is letting her go after they just hired her after she got canned by Trump. So. You know, we're all having little victories here and there. Yes, there's a tragedy in Baltimore across the street from you, and I get that. But let's look at the positives of things. Let's see what we can do to create better transparency in our government. Give me a quick rundown of what's going on in your county. What are your you're a county, right? You're a county guy? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's going on in your county? What are you guys doing at the county level? And are you able to tip the scale, or are you just the opposition to watch it just get flushed down the toilet?
We are the latter at this point. We're still standing strong in our section.
Right, right.
But the plan has always been to, like as we were talking about earlier with gentrification, is to expand that Baltimore City base into Baltimore County to basically make the county and the city one.
Right.
So I think, unfortunately, you know, my children are young, but when they grow up, they're going to look at Maryland as, well, that used to be a state that had four Republicans and four Democrat congressional members. And now you have 7-1, and eventually it'll be 8-0. What happens is you have states like California, you know, maybe Massachusetts, and now Maryland, where you have these Republicans that start becoming milquetoast, and they start going along, and that state continues to get worse and worse. And eventually it comes to a point where it is a dead state, and you have people that just leave, like New York, where they're losing population.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you have a rebirth because people go, well, we've exhausted every option that we have. And this is what's going on here right now. You've exhausted every option that you have. And then you start begging the federal government, we're going to go bankrupt. We need money.
Right.
And then at that point, the only other option is, well, we better change our ways if we really want something. So that's what's going on in Baltimore County. And we're going to continue to fight. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we can actually reverse this trend, but I've seen it before. More than likely, we will hold off. We will slow them down. They will end up winning because they have the mighty power of the government behind them. And then we will move to a different section. We'll go to West Virginia. We'll go to South Carolina, Florida, and we will end up taking conservative libertarian values there. And we will grow from there and make those states better.
Yeah.
Until the Democrats and the liberals decide, hey, we like it there because they're successful. Let's go there and destroy it.
It's a
special scene, and we'll continue to see. So, I never discourage the people to stop fighting, especially in my county.
Yeah.
We do fight, but we know that the odds of us winning are very small, but somebody's got to do it, or else the government will just really think that there is no opposition and they'll do whatever they want quicker than what they're doing it right now.
Well, I think John's got a dog in the fight. I think he's got family up in that area, but he says Stenny has been in house since 1981, so that's incredible. Edward Quinn, he said he's gonna even use some he's giving me some props there in Baltimore. You got the Baltimore Orioles legend Jerry Hoffberger, and a huge contributor to the region back in the day. So Hoffberger, I don't know, I screwed that up, so I'm good at it. That's why I named Jim Price, because I can't screw that up, right? Anyway, so go ahead, Zed. What's that?
Maybe with inflation, your name might change.
I know. I just might be the bad guy. Woo, Price. Yeah. You know. Think about these things, Tim. These things that you're talking about, you're not telling somebody to change their religion. You're not telling them to move out. You're not telling them they have to bend the knee. You're just saying, hey, why don't we take the government boot off the neck of the people? Isn't that correct? I mean, you're just saying let people be people.
That's exactly it. When you let people be people, you will thrive. Mm-hmm. There will be issues because there are bad elements in human nature, but that's where the system of people around them keep them in check.
Right.
We had a Democrat governor who was probably the last decent one here in Maryland. His name was William Donald Schaefer. And back in the 80s and 90s, and I think he was the mayor of Baltimore, and then he was the governor. Mm-hmm. He used to say when he would go to communities, the thing about Baltimore and other places around the country that made it great was that there were communities. There were people that wanted to be around each other. We had Greek Town, you had Little Italy, and he would go to these communities and he would say, So tell me what's going on. And somebody might say, we have rats or we have something. And he would say, I understand. What do you want to do with it? How can you handle it? Be the leader in your community. I will help you. You do it. He put the power back on the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were plenty of things about Schaefer, I'm sure, that, you know, I was a little kid that I'm sure he did that I wouldn't have liked. But he was correct.
Yeah.
He was correct. You give people the power to handle their own communities and they will do it. And it's the government's responsibility to bring those resources for the people. So let them be the government, not the government be the government. Let the people be the government. So the same thing here in Maryland, we've had a large Jewish community for a long time, and they've thrived despite the government putting, you know, socialist homes all around their facilities, their synagogues, their homes, you know, where Nancy Pelosi went to school and stood in Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. The same thing. Beautiful area. What do? They put projects all around it. And they put, you know, the subsidized homes right there, crime ridden. So you have these people who want to go to a great Catholic school. They still got to fight what the government has done to it. So the boot is always on our neck. But if you give people the freedom, they will continue to thrive. If you don't give them the freedom, they become lazy, they become dependent, and they will just become slaves to the government. And that's what makes a society fall.
Well, and so what good is a victory as a Democrat or as a liberal or as an establishment Republican or Rhino? What is the benefit of it? You're buying these votes only to destroy what put you into power to begin with, the idea that America was amazing and could do all these things. And these people going in like, oh, I'm just selling them out for my 30 pieces of silver. I'm not really making a difference. But the problem is they really are. I mean, people like Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, you know, these, you know, the rhinos on the other side. I mean, they're all a problem for me. And I look at these guys going, listen, you know, you guys get your little bleeding heart statement in there, but it costs me $1 trillion because you got to go in and you got to go into Ukraine and oh, we don't have boots on the ground, but we're sure paying a bunch of mercenaries to do a bunch of stuff that, again, Ukraine is Russia's Bethlehem. Why are we involved anyway?
A person's self-interest will capitulate or will end up being greater than the will of society.
Yeah.
And we have a local issue here. We have a delegate, a supposed Republican. His name's Rick Metzger. Mm-hmm. He actually just the only Republican in Maryland's legislature that voted for the largest tax increase in Maryland history. 3 months ago, he promised. He did the read my lips, no new taxes thing 3 months ago. We started to think about why would he do this? One, was he always a liberal? Well, he's got a liberal record, so he's more establishment. But the other part is he's somewhat on his way out. He's not in my generation. He's not in my kids' generation. So what does he care? He might retire. He may go to Florida. So he's not going to have to deal with it.
Right.
So he cares about himself first. That is a politician. That's what we hate.
Yeah.
What we want are people who say, I'm going to volunteer my time. I want to do what I can to help my community, to help the next generation of people. And I don't want anything for it. So when you talk about AOC making 180 grand, you know, what I used to challenge other politicians per se is, hey, what's your salary? Which I already knew. Well, how much are you giving to kids with cancer? Because when I ran, that's what I said. I'm giving my salary to kids with cancer. I'll continue to do that in the future as well. Pick whatever thing that you can give to, because a lot of organizations, they have their flaws as well. But you know what? That money is not really there for you. That money's supposed to help you live.
Right.
Your job is to give back.
Yeah.
When you have people that are Steny Hoyer's age or Rick Metzger's age or Nancy Pelosi's age, what do they care? They're rich. They're leaving. You know, their kids are grown. They're not dealing with the issues that they're causing. It makes me think, and I don't necessarily agree with this thought, but I said, you know, what if, I mean, I'm all for term limits, but what if you had an age limit and it was lower than what you even expect? Like, what if 55 was the age where you couldn't do it anymore? Because you're not really dealing with the effects of the bills you pass. It's those generations coming after you.
Yeah.
So if those people who have kids or they're living in the middle of their life, if they're making the bills, they got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So it's not something I don't like to limit that kind of stuff, but it makes you think, should we have people really in office where those bills will affect them as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. How do we do that? Well, we got to get the electorate to be more responsible to make them and make these politicians accountable.
Well, and again, you're saying, it's like, well, you know, it's like John McCain coming in at the last minute, right before the 12th hour, before Obamacare was killed. He went in and vetoed it. But by the way, they wrote into that Obamacare and student aid are tied together. They're out of the same bucket. So you can't get rid of Obamacare without getting rid of student debt. And you can't get rid of student debt without getting rid of Obamacare. So both sides don't want to get rid of either because they want the free health care. And then we're saying, hey, you can't have just college paid off, but you need to pay for your bills. And so they fight over. It's just it is the, you know, tying two cats together and throwing them over the clothesline, tying the tails together and throwing them over the clothesline, see who's going to survive, right? If that's all we're doing.
Yeah.
It's such a – go ahead. Go ahead.
I think if you take away political factions, parties, as Washington called them, the factions, if there were no Republicans or Democrats – and look, I'm a Republican. I'm an American first. But if you take away those parties, you take away those allegiances to each other – and then the only allegiance people have is to their brethren, their country.
Yeah.
And you don't have these issues where one party's vying to get student debt or one party's getting Obamacare. You have what's best for the country. Let's do a small bill. There's no pork in these bills. And I'll give you one last example with the establishment that I was talking about with Rick Metzger. He claims he's a pastor. He claims he's pro-life. But in every budget bill in Maryland, he always votes for the budget bill, which always has billions of dollars of state-funded abortions that's put in there. Whether you agree with abortion or not, this gentleman's going on record saying, I'm super pro-life, I'm a pastor, but I'm going to vote for that because I get something out of it. I get grant money to come back to my district.
Right.
Well, what is it? Is it grant money? Is that more important than your what you're putting on record that, you know, you have this moral compass? Or is it not?
Yeah.
And you can't answer that stuff because it's a game for them. It's about what they can bring back to their community so they can get more votes and they get more money.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And think about that. That's in that final moment, right? And I have a – I think I read that poem to you. Or I may have – I don't know. We've talked about it. But I wrote a poem back in 2020 just before the election. I woke up at about 2:30 in the morning. And it says, what will you do when freedom calls your name? Will you stand and wait till those others that can join the fight, join the fight? And this is one of those instances where this individual, if he would have made the stand, hey, I will not vote for this budget as long as there is money in there killing kids. And I don't care if it's kids in the womb or kids in public. We've got a problem globally with kids. Like, Jim, I don't know how I got to say this, but can we just stop screwing kids? Can we just stop doing that? Like, not only just in the womb are we killing them, not giving them a chance at life, which life is hard enough already, but let's just throw a blender in there. I don't mean to be too graphic here. But then we are literally seeing trafficked kids. What is this P. Diddy thing over? Trafficked kids.
Perfect segue. Yeah. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just flabbergasted. It's like, can we just stop touching the children? Can we just say that we don't screw with kids until they're, let's give them 14 or 15 before we start putting red dye and folic acid in their cereals and glyphosates? And can we just stop? Is there a...
And as the great El Rushmo used to say, you know, you're letting these kids have an adidectomy or chop a dick off of me at these young ages.
Yeah.
And it's irreversible. And I come from a mental health background. I was an executive in mental health, my background's psychology.
Right.
And look, it's natural for kids to have those curiosities as they become older. You know, am I straight? Am I gay? Do I fit in? Do I not? It's a natural progress for a lot of kids and they grow out of it. They learn who they are. But when you are irreversibly changing someone at such an early age, it's causing the suicides to go up. It's causing the mental health disorders to become rampant. It causes a lot of strife amongst members of society.
Right.
So, you know, we screw our kids. And I think some of it's by design because they want the system that built America to be wiped away.
Right.
And in order to do that, they have to make somebody the bad guy, people like us. And then they have to make everybody else the normal. Right. And whatever they want to do is acceptable. And when they do that, the country will fall apart.
Yeah. Did you know that the number one demographic for sex change transition is female autistics and Down syndrome.
I did not know that.
That is because these women are going through body changes, hormonal changes. They're growing boobs. They've got pubic hair. They got a period. They start going through all this stuff. And maybe I'm not right because I'm already not right. But now I feel a lot more not right. And boy, if I just go in, I cut this big piece of skin off my forearm and create a phallic, you know, I'll be better. And I don't think we're realizing that our system is very consumptive. Like they can, we're consuming human beings' lives and mental well-being. And what is it? 80% of everybody who's transitioned commits suicide. Yep. Right there, I'm a full stop. Like, hey guys, let's stop doing that because 80% of the people you do that to kill themselves. Let's stop doing that until we can figure out why that's a real problem. So we know that the cutting things off and putting things on makes them kill themselves. Why don't we just not do that and give it like a holding period? I mean, what, you have to wait 3 days for a pistol now or at the ATF? And oh, by the way, your funding bill we just got passed through last week gave a whole bunch of red flag laws or red flag rules to the ATF to come in and confiscate your guns.
I want everybody to know that one of the first red flag laws that took place was right here in Maryland under the governor of Larry Hogan, who nobody here likes. Mm-hmm. And he decided he wanted to run for U.S. Senate. And we are not going to vote for him because of things like those red flag laws. And he had a big about face when the Supreme Court came in, ruled on that New York case and said, no, you need to give back the guns to the people. And Hogan was forced to do it. So kudos to the Supreme Court for doing that. And many of the states that are dealing with these red flag laws that Larry Hogan and his cohorts decided to push first, you can win. And it'll take a while, but you can win. Fight for your God-given rights.
Yeah. Well, and again, remember, when we say, and I have a lot of sheriffs that I only have sheriff friends that are constitutional sheriffs. I have, so it's a very short list. But I always ask them, you know, do you believe that a well-regulated militia means a well-practiced people's army? And my buddy down here in Oklahoma, he's just about an hour south of me. He's like, I want you coming down and practice an army with me, Jim, because we need guys like you on the front line. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that it's the people, and the people are the answer, not the government, not the guy with the badge and the gun. Tim, let me. We got about 2-3 minutes here before, minutes before I got to get you out of here or give you your final 2 minutes. So we got 4 minutes. I'm giving you 2 minutes on this one. The border crisis. Can we just go ahead and take the $20 billion that Mexico wants for border security? Go ahead and give a stipend to men to sit about every 50 feet across from each other across the southern border for $20 billion a year. Don't you think we get some good old boys with some rifles? And if you touch our border, we just go.
Yeah, you know, they would too. No, look, and I'll say this. We do welcome other people that want to come here, but come here the legal way.
Come through the front door, not the back door, right?
And do not tell us that people from certain parts of the world are not welcome here. And what I mean by that is in the 1960s with Ted Kennedy, the focus was there's too many Europeans coming here. We need to have third world nations come here.
Right.
And that's why you don't see people that come from Ireland or England or Italy anymore. They come from the same parts of the world. They're either coming from Latin America or they're coming from Africa or India. No problem with that. But why is it that Europeans can't come here? So it's all by design.
Oh, there's no poor people in white Europe. You know that. Come on. Don't you know anything, Tim?
Yeah.
Just from all of the worst places on earth that are having their own problems, we tend to find these fighting age men showing up to our border where the UN has given them maps and money, including the Red Cross, to show up to our border. This whole thing is getting worse and worse, and it's creating victimization. Did you know that I guess we're running out of time, so I don't want to go down that path. But immigration needs to be through the front door, not the back door. And I get it. People want to come here. You know, it's like, you know, if you're going, you want to go to a great restaurant, you make reservations, right? You want to go to a great bar, you stand in line, or you know the bouncer, right? I mean,
that's right. You know, I was never big enough. I was never big enough to be the bouncer, so I had to know those bouncers. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I got to know the guy. I'm like, hey, man, what's up, buddy? You know, hey, you don't mind if I, my dumb man, you know, comes in there. But, you know, I get it, man. Thank you so much for being so candid and honest with me, Tim. It's been fantastic having you today. I'm not sure if we covered anything you wanted to say, but we were having a great conversation. So blame it on me or blame it on the rain, as Millie Vanilli said. Calling out our age there. I'm 52. You're That's younger right. than I am, so you shouldn't know that stuff.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So give me your last 2-3 minutes here, and you got the floor, buddy. Yeah.
So I one thing, we were talking about the guns, and I want to give one quick story, which I think I tell everybody. I owned a business, and it was a liquor store at the time. And I had a lady who we hired, and I said, look, you know, here's where we keep our weapons and, you know, to, you know, defend yourself. But if somebody ever were to come in, just give them the money. And she's like, I'm afraid of guns. I said, well, they're not afraid of you, because, you know, you may give them the money, but they're still going to shoot you. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to protect yourself. I offered to send her to get her handgun qualification license, to get a carry permit, to take her to, the shooting range and everything. Yeah. And she did. And I remember 6 months into the whole thing, she came to me. She said, I feel so empowered. I never felt like this before in my life. I feel like I can protect myself.
Yeah.
And I just lit up, because that's what we always say. A gun is an equalizer for those bad guys that want to take your rights. It's not, we're not wanting people to have guns so they can go kill people.
Right.
So encourage your fellow citizens and neighbors to practice their rights. They will see something. They may think it's the worst thing in the world, but once they try it, they might go, you know what? My own rights is great.
Yeah.
And I just also encourage people to end with this, you know, stand for those that have stood for you. So those people out there that are in the communities and they're fighting and they got a voice, you may think they're brash or, you know, they're annoying, but what they're doing is they're standing for the rights that you're not standing for. And if you just maybe just say to them, explain to me what you're really thinking.
Right.
You know, you might become that next person, and then you might help another person, and you might get this snowball moving.
Yeah.
If you don't, you might not have a country for your kids or your grandkids to live in. So you got to stand up. We have to do it now. You know, if we don't, we lose our country.
Absolutely, Tim. Well, thank you for all that. Now, how do we find you real quick? What's the best way to find you?
You can find me at timfazenbaker.com, FazenBaker. You can find me, of course, on social media. It's Tim Fazenbaker for America.
Right.
I'm all over the place. And you can, of course, find me right here on the Jim Price Show.
Yeah, you can find me here. Alexandra has been commenting great on the show today. So thank you to her as well as being a part of the things. And Tim, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for being very frank with me about everything. I don't mean to push so many buttons, but guys, if we don't start having these conversations, then when are we going to have them? Right. You know, it's a bad deal. So, all right, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, no.
Nope, that's it. Thank you for doing it.
Hey, if you have any updates, come back. Seriously. And even on this bridge thing, whatever you hear some whispers, some rumbling on the tracks, you let us know. All right, buddy.
Will do. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye. All right. Well, what a great interview with Tim. And again, this has been one of those days where you have to go and you have to shake your head and go, are we on the right side of things? And have we been the right people when we should have been? And that's the sad part, is we haven't been in a lot of ways. And I want you guys to understand that this is what we are against, is that the consumption of our government has been chewing us up for so long. And I want you guys to say, listen, enough is enough. I'm not going to stand for it any longer. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my poem that I referenced in the beginning of the show to Tim. And I want you guys to hear this. I have this poster on thejimpriceshow.com, thejimpriceshow.com. Go over to the store. You can get this poster either signed or blank, either way. I can sign you a signed one. I have those numbered, so they're very limited number of those going out. The poem was Say Her Name. America, her name is America. She is freedom. She's the only place on earth, past, present, or future, that has ever been or ever will be free from tyranny. Today, I'm not so sure, folks. She has bled, cried, and died for each of us. Over her beautiful hills and dales, she has prepared for us a home we must earn. This home is built with honor, dignity, peace, and the pursuit of happiness. She is here so we can rest our weary heads. For freedom is never free. We must battle against those that are evil, against those who wish to bring freedom to her knees. Each day we struggle against those who take away freedom for the sake of safety. To be free, you must practice bravery. Bravery is not born in each of us, for selfishness is the root cause of evil in our hearts. We must practice selflessness to achieve bravery. Bravery to believe and hold dear the hopes and dreams of a nation. When those with evil in their hearts choose to bring harm to those who are not brave, it is the duty, nay, the honor of those that can, to stand strong and resolute until others can join the fight for freedom. No one has ever rang the bell of freedom without the fear of loss. This loss can be of your individual freedom, your individual liberty, your pursuit of happiness, or even your life. No one will ever be guaranteed the perfect outcome, but rather the best outcome for the effort you put forth. When the duty of freedom calls, how will you respond to her? How will you rise up to meet her? How will you bring a better world for those that do not know or understand freedom? How will your actions bring how will your actions bring those real values of freedom into the hearts of many? Whether in this life or at the judgment seat of Christ, you will have to answer this question. Were you a good and faithful servant to freedom and her cause? Did you fight tirelessly for those that cannot, against those evildoers willing to destroy freedom? What did you do when freedom called your name? Guys, that is everything in a nutshell of what we're facing today and what we're going through. And I want you guys to know that I am here for you in any way I can be and anything I can do for you. I am that guy. But I will tell you at the end of the day, it is your job to stand up for freedom until those that do not know what freedom is join the fight of freedom. And a lot of people are waking up in this time right now, and it is amazing to be a part of the world right now. But you got to remember to do your part. As you watch these things like the bridge being hit and knocked down, when you start seeing things like 9/11 and you start seeing things that just don't seem to make a lot of sense to you and you know about the different things, please understand that just because evildoers are doing that doesn't mean you still fight for freedom. Freedom is your job. It is your duty. And you have to stand up for those that cannot fight until they can join the fight. All right, guys, any questions or comments for me? Remember, jimprice@thejimpriceshow.com is the email. Guys, get a hold of me. Remember, go to thejimpriceshow.com and order your T-shirts. Remember, the corner of badass and cool shit. We got that shirt out there going. We got those shipments out today to a few folks. Carrie Heiserman, I have your shirt printed up and ready to go. So whenever you're ready to have that, it is already ready for you to go. So anyway, let's see what else we have. I just need your address, Carrie. I'll send you that T-shirt. Guys, My Daily Naturals, if you guys are looking for your daily supplements that are the basic cell function of your body to get you back on the right track to letting your body do the best it can be and be amazing, MyDailyNaturals.com, Qstreaming, QStreaming at CreateStreaming.com. You guys want to replace your cable company for $60 a month, look up that and get a hold of me. I'll tell you guys how to sign up. Again, guys, thank you so much for everything you guys are doing. If you have any questions or comments for me, let me know. I will get back to you. Remember the 10% we do for our neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government. The more you do for them, the less they have to do for you. Learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. There will be a far, far better place. Remember, hold the line. Hold fast. Do not give up. Do not give in. We will win. I promise. I'll make promise I can't keep. Guys, thank you so much for everything you guys are doing. Remember, the Constitution limits the government, but never limits you. Guys, thank you for that. And also look up Tim Fazelbacher. He is a great, great guy. So thank you so much for everything he's doing out there as well. It's been fantastic to see you guys doing everything you guys are doing. Great comments today. And thank you for everybody who contributes to the show. Remember, donate to the show as often as possible. That way we can keep the lights on here. I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. You guys, I'll be good to each other out there, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.